Sleepy? Kind of tired? Want to take a nap? I'll get you back later. That's good that we engaged in that, because I want to talk about the importance of words this morning. And I think it's important what we say. And I hope that by the time I'm finished, we'll all realize that it's really important what comes out of our mouths. So let's ask the Lord to help. I need help this morning. I know we need help listening too, and we'll ask the Lord to give us the hand here. Father in heaven, please be with us. I pray, O Lord, that you'd open our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to be able to stay awake, stay alert, to listen to you. And Lord, to glean something that would be of great value to us, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 12. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12. And like I say, words do mean something. And we need to realize that there's consequences in what we say. And many times we take it for granted that, you know, just talking doesn't mean anything, but it means a whole lot. And what we say reflects part of what we are. I just read and give you what the Bible says about it. It's amazing how much the Bible says about words. Just plain old words. Matthew chapter 12, I'll start reading verse 34. And it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Isn't that amazing? That right here, I'll have it read but one sentence, and it's already talking about how can someone that is evil, how are they even able to speak good things? Have you been in Walmart or out in public lately and just listened to the common talk? The conversations that go on? Aren't you amazing how many evil things you hear? Have you turned on the TV and listened to some of the garbage that comes across there? How much evil you constantly hear? And it says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And listen, if you don't think words have consequences, listen to this next verse. It says, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Rather sobering thought, isn't it? Real sobering. In this passage, we clearly see in verse 35 where it says, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We can see that most of what comes out of our mouths, or everything that comes out of our mouths, is what is in our hearts. Good treasure, good things. Evil man, out of the evil treasure, evil things. From the heart to the mouth is a short distance. In fact, it's probably a little bit too short. Because it comes out quickly, what's in the heart many times, and a lot of times we like to hold back and not utter something so quickly, but it's already out there, we've already thrown it out, and you can't take it back. Too late. And so from the heart to the mouth is only a moment. And what an amazing thing that pretty well what you're known by is what you say. And the way you're thought of by others is what your conversation's like, what you say and what you talk about to others. But I'm always thankful that God's people, it doesn't only say evil treasure, it says good treasure. Good treasure. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that God has given His people, in chapter 2 and verse 16, it says that we are the mind of Christ. And God has given us His Spirit in that same chapter, and it shows us the amazing work of God. But Not only that, first Ezekiel 36, the Lord says this, a new heart. God's people have a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, the Bible says, and give you an heart of flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. What a blessing that is. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that more or less the same thing. And it says this, well, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak. Notice speaking. We speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And of course, like I said, it says in verse 60, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. And so that's a good treasure of a good man's heart. He has the mind of Christ. And we must show this in the way we live and the way we act. But many times we're not able to do this, aren't we? Even though we have all the Spirit's help, even though we're born again of the Lord, and even though the Lord has given us new hearts, it's still a hard thing to keep this tongue under control. And even of Christians in Corinth, Paul had to rebuke them because they begin to brag a little bit. Well, I'm a Paul, says one. Another says, well, I'm of Apollos. And so Paul says, well, are you not carnal? And so many times our mouths, even those that are God's people, sometimes we hurt our testimony by our mouths, by boasting, bragging, exaggerating, and so forth. And so we have to keep a close lid, close watch upon these tongues of ours. And the tongue is such a dangerous thing. James talks about the danger of the tongue. And whenever you read this, it's astounding how bad the tongue is. In fact, it's almost spoken of as like it's the most evil thing you'd ever read about. And even of an unrighteous man's heart, it says the heart itself, and that's what's guiding the tongue, is deceitful above all things and desperately, what? Who can even know it? And so, lost man don't even realize how bad his tongue is or is capable, what it's even capable of doing. It's capable of doing much wickedness. And so, like I say, from the heart, out of the heart proceeds all these things that we say. But listen how bad the tongue can be. In James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, notice words. He's talking about words again. The same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. But we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A big old horse with just a little old bridle and a bit in his mouth, and we're able to lead that horse everywhere we want to. Big ships, he says in verse 4, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm. One little rudder guides a great big ship all through great waters and long distances. And so it compares that to the tongue, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. I mean, even if you go and stick it out as far as you can compared to the rest of your body, it's not like your arm, it's not like your leg, it's pretty small. But boy, can it do some damaging work. In fact, it says, a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. I read that exactly the way it is here. The tongue is a fire. So the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body, just like that little rudder on that little ship. Turn that whole ship. This tongue turns the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every beast of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed to mankind. Isn't that amazing? It compares this tongue in our mouths to beasts and says beasts are more tameable than our tongues. And what an amazing thing. I have had a little experience with animals trying to tame them. I had a crow in my house for about 6-7 months one time. And we had that crow so it would even say mama when it got in trouble. If you gave that crow a piece of toast, after a while, we'd give it toast, and if it didn't have butter, it'd take it with its mouth and slam it on the floor. If it had butter, it would get down there and just yum every part down. It had a personality. And it's amazing how tame it would be, that how friendly that crow was. Had a fox one time. Called him Foxy. Not unusual, you do it. Not an unusual name for a fox, I wouldn't think. But that old fox, as wild as foxes are, that thing would run all over. I threw 6 crickets down one time on the floor. And no, crickets are fast. I threw them crickets down like that, and they were hopping and jumping. And I'll tell you, in probably a second, Foxy had caught and ate every one of them. The fastest animal I've ever seen. But old Foxy, I'd get out there and play with him and run with him, and he'd jump over my back and jump and just try to get me to chase him and everything. When he'd get tired, lay up in my arms, go to sleep, and I'd just rub his head and go to sleep on my arm. He's about half cat and half dog. He could climb like a cat and he could run fast like a dog. And you get attached to these animals, but they're tameable, aren't they? With the tongue, you can't do that with. You can pet it. You can take care of it, it'll still bite. It's still a devouring thing. And the Bible says these animals are tameable, but you've got something that cannot be tamed. In fact, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. I haven't tamed mine. I can tame a fox, but I can't tame my own tongue. That's amazing, isn't it? It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. See why you have to watch it? See why we have to guard against things we say? How many times have you talked to somebody when you left them, you said, I wished I wouldn't have said that? So many times we leave regretting things we said. It is full of deadly poison. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. My brethren, he's talking, these things ought not to be, not so to be. And isn't that the truth? Down through history we see that, where men of God, getting squabbles and fights, and you have... just animosity after a while. And even brothers and sisters in the Lord become almost alienated because of differences and little differences and making big things out of them. And these tongues, these saying things we ought not to say, and we're hurting people. And the body of Christ is divided because the tongue has separated us. In fact, the tongue separates, the Bible says, chief friends. Paul and Barnabas over John Mark, and what they do? Separated. And contention between Peter and Paul, because he disassembled himself from the Gentiles before the Jews. Contention between them. And we see contentions between God's people constantly. Constantly. It ought not so to be. It ought not so to be. And so, we're told, we're warned about these things. We're even warned about speaking evil of one another, of our brothers in James chapter 4. He speaks of that. He says, speak not evil, verse 11, 4:11, one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And so the thing is, it's evil to do this. In fact, verse 12, I'll just read you just one little portion of verse 12. It says, who art thou? Who art thou? Judging another. And so the Lord sets this before us about how these tongues are. Our tongues are fierce. They're fierce. In fact, the Bible compares tongues to what? Things like swords, knives, sharp instruments even. that pierce. In fact, Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword speaking." And can't the tongue just cut someone to ribbons? It has the capability of just doing evil things. We find that words many times are so cutting and so ruthless, like Psalms 57 verse 4, where he says, "My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." And over we see these things. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." It's a mouth. Keepeth his life. "But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." So you see, over and over, we see there's consequences in the words we say. And the amazing thing is, I talk about how the tongue can really speak evil of others and cut them down like knives, but it has another propensity too, and that is to brag about itself. It can talk bad about others, but it will protect self at any cost almost. It's very careful to protect self. Proverbs 27 verse 2 warns God's people, says, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth." It says, "A stranger, not thine own lips." Proverbs 25 verse 14 says, "Whosoever boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain," hot air. And then the tongue is real careful about being nosy and telling what it saw. You know, like meddling, tale-bearing, gossip. Proverbs 26 verse 17 says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh by the ears." I've noticed this a lot, seemed like the last few years, how much the Bible says about animals and how much... Have you ever took a dog by the ears? He don't like it. And he'll shake and holler and... And he might look, if he's a bad dog, he'll take a snap at you too. It's not good to take a dog by the ears. And that's what the Bible says, that meddling with other people's affairs are. It's like grabbing hold of something you're scared to let it go. Let it go, he'll bite you. And so it's sort of like that, about meddling with things that don't concern you. And I'm going to read that passage in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, I'll start in verse 20 through 25. Proverbs 26, verse 20. It says this, "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." And brothers and sisters, keep this in mind. If you don't kindle it, it won't burn. If you don't add more to it, it won't burn. If you leave it be, it'll go out. But nobody likes to do that. As soon as it seems like the dying embers are going out, somebody comes there and throws more wood and fuel on it, and it boils up again and rages again. That's the way trouble is. It'll go out if we don't keep adding more fuel to it and stirring it back up and blowing more on these coals. Well, the Bible teaches that as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. To kindle strife. The words, notice again how words seem to focus in Scripture so much. The words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down into the that go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. And so you see the tongue, like I said a while ago, it proceeds from the heart. And what is the heart? Deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the tongue also is desperately wicked and deceitful. And so it talks about this. His wickedness his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. So our wickedness, using his tongue, usually comes back on us before it's over with. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. And so it's fitting that I read that, because the other thing the tongue's good at is flattery. Or it can speak wicked about somebody, and that's bad too. But there's another thing that would sound like it might be good, but it's not. You can speak good of somebody, and then you can speak too good of somebody. You can go lying. Flattery. See? There's nothing wrong with being friendly. I think we all ought to really be friendly. I think there's nothing better than being kind and friendly to one another. And we ought to be that way. Never take that away. But you can go overboard. My brother had a teacher in school, and she's an elderly woman. And he noticed that every once in a while she'd buy a dress, and nobody would notice it because she bought dresses that were sort of old-fashioned, even a brand new, and didn't look really new and mod and everything. And he noticed one time he said something about that dress, and she smiled. Well, the next time she wore one, "Miss Emma, that is a beautiful dress. Boy, it sure looks good." And she said, "Oh, I didn't know anybody noticed it." You know, she just was eating it up. And he made the best grades in that class and knew less than anybody ever seen in my life. But he won her heart through flattery. Through flattery. Now, flattery is deceitful. It puffs up. It promotes pride. In fact, Job said, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man." Well, you say, "Well, that's not so bad, is it, Job? You know, is that serious?" He says, next verse, he says, "For I know not to give flattering titles, for in doing so my Maker would soon take me away." He also says, "He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail." Do men use flattering words? Let me just give you a few little flattering words, and these speak of men. The imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Imperial wizard? What a title! How you like this? In a lodge, the worshipful master. And if he's the grand master of the state, he's called the most worshipful grand master. But I like the head of the 32nd group, the consistory. They call him the Sovereign Grand Inspector General. Boy, what would you not do with a title like that? Men love to give flattering titles about His Eminence the Pope. Eminence. Boy, what an important man he must be. Eminence. And of course, the English used to make lords out of people. I guess they'd have a little ceremony and make a lord out of him, just like a knight. You're a knight, you're something. Boy, if you're a lord, you're something else. Yeah, flattering titles. And people love them. Man, they go through lengths to get these titles. I was once the worshipful master. Youngest in the state of Louisiana the year I was. Boy, what an abominable thing to think of. That somebody would address you with a title like that. Such a flattering bunch of nonsense. And we know ourselves, if any man think that he's anything when he's nothing, the Bible says he deceiveth himself. And so there are many deceived people in this world. What a blessing to know that I'm not above anybody. And what a glory to know that we're in this, when we come in the house of God, there is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, the poor, the rich. But all of us are alike. There's another side to all the evil too. Another side that we can also purpose words that are wholesome, good, and uplifting. In fact, we're told in Scripture to exhort one another. And you exhort one another with words. That's not flattery. That's building up. That's helping. That's comfort. That's being a friend. That's telling the person that you really care about, I'm sure glad to see you. I missed you. Love you. You know? We have things in common with each other. The Lord gives us times that we get to know each other. And aren't we glad to see each other again? Aren't these camps wonderful? You know why they're wonderful? Because we're seeing people we love and know again. Some we haven't seen in years. When I see Brother Mark, his face lights up when he sees me. He's probably making fun laughing at me. But I love to see him. What a joy. And we pick on each other. Enjoy each other. Brother Barney, all of you. Love you, Brother Josue. Loves to eat some of the same foods I like. And some he's introduced me to I haven't tried yet. And likewise. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to have fellowship with God's people? And these are so comforting, so when we see them, we just love to exhort each other there's a passage here that I have to admit, maybe someone will tell me what it means sometime. I don't know what it means, but it's the most beautiful verse I've ever read in Scripture, I believe. And it says this, Proverbs 25:11. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what this means exactly, but it sure does sound good. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Isn't that beautiful? What does it mean? It is beautiful. A word fitly spoken. I know I'd like to have some apples of gold, so it must be precious. In pictures of silver, it shows the value, the glory of it. And also shows the tremendous value of words whenever a word is fitly spoken. And so that part I do know. But it shows the beauty of words, the glory of words. And the Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You see, it's not very far from the heart to the mouth, but we need to study before we let it erupt. But the mouth of the wicked, it says, pours out evil things. It doesn't wait for a thing. It just slams it on out as soon as it comes to the mind. And just as a tongue is capable of much evil, it's also capable of much good. Much good. You hear me? The same old thing that we can't tame, God can tame. And what a blessing it is to see that the Lord has somewhat tamed these tongues of ours. In fact, it says of the saved in Mark 16, they shall speak with new tongues. Thank God for that. Thank God the tongue I used to have is not the same tongue I have now. I'm thankful for that. And it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do, says 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Our tongues can uplift. Our tongues can encourage. Our tongues can have good treasure. Our tongues can pray. Pray. Talk to God. Speak with our mouths. Speak to God. Our tongues can be used to praise, to give thanks. What a blessing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Are you always wondering? I would love to know what the will of God is. I want to know what the will of God is. Here's one thing I can tell you is the will of God for you. Because it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Can't get any plainer than that. Yes, words do mean something. And what a blessing when it's mixed with praise and worship and desires and hope and thankfulness. The mouth. Contrasting things. What a contrast it is between the good treasure of the good heart and the evil treasure on the other side. Oh, what a difference there is. In fact, if you look at the contrast between them, the evil treasure of this evil man, 2 Peter 2:18-19 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, and they're even religious men, unconverted religious men, speaking great swelling words of vanity for gain. And it says this, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, and those that were clean escape from them that live in error. While they promise them liberty, they are themselves the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome with the same as he brought into bondage, and just as good words free, evil words in prison." Evil words, evil men. And it seems like they've got the biggest following of all. You see godly men preaching the gospel with good words, and there's few that be saved, few that come to it. You see an evil man making merchandise out of everybody there, and they're flocking to see him. They're coming in by the droves. A man that is so corrupt that they caught him twice nationally, going to places he shouldn't go, and he's still got a telecast on TV that lasts 2 hours. And still has people going and flocking down to see him. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, "Even if a man were able to speak," it says, "for though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," it says, "I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal." And so there are men that can speak with great words and understand great mysteries of the Bible, yet there's no love in their hearts and no real care and kindness in them, and nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Revelation 16:9. And I brought this up because I heard a preacher one time say something that even though this preacher's a great author, he's a great man as far as religious people are concerned, he's a great study of the Puritans, and he said something one time that it just made me just flounder to hear. And he said, "Even if I was put in hell," he said, "I would praise God and I would bless Him." And I said, "There ain't nobody in hell praising God. What kind of language is that? It might sound good, might look good, but it's altogether false, brothers. Ain't nobody in hell praising God. Ain't nobody in heaven blaspheming God." And so I don't care how good you think you are now and how much you love God now. If you're cast into hell, I'll tell you exactly what you'll be doing. And this is what the Scriptures say. Revelation 16:9. It says, "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues." Notice the words again. The words show what they are. These people are not only unconverted, but it shows the real heart of unregenerate men. They may seem like they don't, like they're nonchalant about religion, nonchalant about God. You know that they could take it, but when it comes down to it, they hate God. And it says this, "They blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and repented not to give Him glory." I don't care who you are, you go to hell, that's you. That's you. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom, his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Brothers and sisters, pain and suffering will not save anyone. It will not drive them to repentance. Not alone. But on the other side, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Romans 10:8-10, we have these words, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, brothers, by these same mouths, regenerated from a regenerated heart, we bring forth good things. Good things. And just as we'll be judged by our works, we'll be judged by what we say. Our mouths will justify us in the day of God. "But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Yes. It matters what we say. greatly matters what we say. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Have you called upon God? Have you used your mouth and called upon the living God to save you, to deliver your soul? Call upon God. Does it seem like a hard thing to do, to call upon God? You're not going to go to heaven without it. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I pray somebody here will this camp call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, to see the shackles fall. Oh, to see the heart set free. What a blessing it would be for someone right in our midst to just start calling upon the name of God. Oh, God, would we see it once more? Call upon the name of the Lord. And God says, that's what's required of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. And you know, what a blessing it is to see people who once were blasphemers, once were men with corrupt, evil, blasphemous mouths, that after they converted, we see them doing something else. What are these mouths supposed to be doing? Ephesians 5:19-20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the heart's still at work and it's getting its tongue in the right frame of mind and doing what brings glory to God. And what a glory it is to see the saints of God singing together with words. These old tongues, untamable by us, but tameable by God. Able to pour out praises to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Boy, what a glory to see the people of God gathered and praising God with glorious words of love and adoration. Words mean so much. So much. It's with words that the gospel is preached. In fact, the angels made this when Jesus came. They uttered words to these poor shepherds. We bring you good tidings of great joy. Promise peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And brothers and sisters, it don't matter where you are. It may not be anybody else but you able to utter good words. But won't you be like this, like John the Baptist? He said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Don't be ashamed of what you are. Cry out before men what's in this old heart of yours. This heart has been redeemed. It's been free. It can utter good words. It has good treasure. And what a blessing. And maybe in your suffering, maybe you might be hurting. They might hear you speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as Paul and Silas at midnight in the Philippian jail. And up comes a jailer running in. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What great news. What a blessing. And they preached to him Christ. And you know what? It says He was baptized straightway that same night in his house. What a blessing. What a glory to see that these words they spoke to him had a meaning. And they were effectual to the salvation of that man. And it can be the same for you and I. If our hearts are right with God and we're praising God and speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord, if we live in a constant state of that, of uttering things that are come out of the good treasure of a good heart and seasoned with grace and praising God and thanking God and using these tongues for something profitable, for exhorting saints, for praying for others, preaching the gospel, what good things would become of these old tongues. These old tongues that by men are totally untamable. Men of this world, guard your heart and guard your tongue for the glory of God. Amen.